You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, Dojo Disciples. This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Denchi Mail Edition, where every other week we supplement our regular episodes with answers to your video game questions and talk about the latest releases of the Famicom Dojo video web series. This week we talk about Famicom Dojo fan art, Vink's Better Late Than Never introduction to 90s Star Trek, and your questions. Eventually. Hey, Vink.
Hello.
How was your turkey day?
I don't know how much I want to say.
Oh, well.
I'm just nervous in general now. Because I'm very nervous that whatever we say is going to be turned into fan art, so.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Oh god. Well, yeah, we can talk about that. Well, okay. Oh, hold on. Well, we'll swing around to that. Thanksgiving was great. Thanksgiving was great. I had my first Thanksgiving dinner that resembled an American Thanksgiving in a lot of years.
Cool.
Probably this might be my first one actually in Japan that had like a turkey and pumpkin pie and mashed potatoes and stuffing and.
Do you even have pumpkins and stuff in Japan? I don't even know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're green, but they taste pretty similar. It's more like a
like those box watermelon. I mean,
no. Inside, it's still orange. Actually, I mean, a lot of pumpkin pie isn't even made with pumpkins anyway. It's made with like a butternut squash or acorn squash or something like that.
What? Madness.
Did I just blow your mind?
Yes, my mind is quite blown.
I mean, you can use a pumpkin. Obviously, it's pumpkin pie, but.
Only if you're a fool, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, butternut squash is good, so.
Yep. Oh, we're going to get the Pro Pumpkin League on our cases now.
Oh, boy.
Don't draw that.
We can't stop them.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, good. I had like three of them or so, you know.
Yeah.
Because you get married and have kids and all this stuff happens and families expand and. Yeah.
Wait. So you had three Thanksgivings.
Something like that.
Walk me through this. What's the first one?
The first one was the regular kind on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
There was a second one that was actually like a Christmas get-together since all of my wife's family's together for Thanksgiving. They get together for as a big
post-party.
Group.
Post-party, yeah.
For the next day for Christmas.
Okay.
So that counts as the next day. And then since, my wife's brother and most of his family were around, we had leftovers on Saturday.
I don't count that as a Thanksgiving.
You
That's
don't?
Like you had 2.5 Thanksgivings.
Well, I didn't have Thanksgiving with them specifically this year. I had them with my family. And so we saw them and had literal Thanksgiving things that we had eaten the day before.
I had a turkey sandwich with my brother yesterday. Does that count?
Yes.
Okay.
It was
then
turkey,
I've had,
right?
Yeah. Then I've had 8 Thanksgivings.
See, there you go.
This year. 3 of them in one day.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. I guess if that's how we're counting them.
Indeed.
And you know what? That's fine because Thanksgiving is
a special time.
For those who aren't Americans, this is the time we give thanks for all the things that 2016 has brought us.
Oh boy!
I don't know. I'm looking forward to Christmas. Definitely. Should be a lot of fun this year. I don't know. Mm. Christmas is a very busy time for me.
Right.
Obviously, though, you know, it's a lot more fun when you're a kid and you're just on the getting end of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, taking it easy, not traveling, staying around. So back to that fan art.
Must we?
I think we must okay. Acknowledge it because it was amazing.
It was amazing.
At some point in the last Denchi Mail podcast, I believe I said, "Call me Spork." But I don't even remember the context. I have to listen to that episode again. I think we were like saying we should make a food show because we were talking about food for so long or something. I don't even remember. That's the thing.
It's
I don't
such even a get... weird reference.
It's such an obscure reference that I don't even get the fan art. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I admire that. This is better art than I've ever drawn in my life. If you gave me 1,000 years to draw something, it wouldn't be that good. But it was done to a reference that maybe 5 people will get.
and two of them are not us.
And two of them are not. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, this is above our heads. No, I definitely said I will be called the Spork, but like immediately dismissed the idea. Not even regarding it as one of my better jokes.
That's why, but it was so good and effective.
That was, and we got a Notice Me Senpai riff with Notice Me Spork featuring me apparently flashing me. When you think about it, because it's Vinkel.
Is it really flashing if it's just the underboob?
Respond in our comment section. Is it really? But what even brought up the whole underboob thing? That is not our normal podcast topic.
Right. I believe I was referencing Nerd and Tie Expo and the upcoming Daishokan, which I was unable to attend.
Oh.
After all, as it turned out. But I guess there was no underboob, at least not from the quarters that it was expected. So it's okay.
Were people expecting the? Was it because you didn't show up that there was no underboob? Were you bringing the boob?
I don't think so.
Okay, then, man, I got to listen to that podcast again.
Weren't you there?
I was.
Man, we are terrible. We don't even listen to each other during our own show.
Yeah, sometimes I play Gradius while you're talking.
Some people like don't listen to their own like shows or like watch their own movies. We just don't even listen while we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. We're one step above that.
Oh gosh.
We don't look to the past or even the present. Yeah. Only the future. Only the future here.
Well, we haven't like done anything since the last time we recorded, like video wise, but
that is very true.
I mean, I would like to start doing things now that my schedule is, I don't know, what's the word for it? Becoming less schedule-y.
I've played a lot of Smash TV.
Oh, yeah, that's something.
I am ready to finish up that video. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good, good.
I got a little footage. I got a little footage already. So I've just little bits and pieces. I've been doing a bit of recording. So
okay, awesome. I have not, but I've been planning, and I hope to be actually writing things down at some point.
I've been planning, and I hope one day to write things down.
Hey, it's all in my head. I just gotta make sure it works. Like, I actually went back to an old script. Because
okay.
I was like, oh, I think I used this gag already, like to an unfilmed script, and
yeah.
it indeed is an unfilmed script, and
okay.
I don't think it works as well there, so I'm going to excise that and move it elsewhere. This is how the sausage is made, folks. I hope you're enjoying your behind the scenes look right now.
Speaking of lost episodes,
yes,
Mystery Science Theater 3000. They found episodes 1 and 2,
right? And if you backed that project, you got them.
Yep. They're okay. Minutes can go by without a riff.
That's
but
weird.
Like the movie itself was entertaining enough that like that was okay, and it's really interesting to see the segments in between, just to see the whole, and the quality is really, really good. I've seen some of the first, you know, the season zero before, but they were always off old VHS rips back when I was in high school, because people were, you know, I didn't have Comedy Central. We didn't have it in our cable package. So the only way I saw it was from other fans who got tapes. So by the time they got to me, they were often like fifth generation, you know.
Oh, wow. And for those who don't know, like, you know, analog did not copy well from copies.
No, it did not.
We have to probably explain this to some of the younger listeners. This was pre-digital.
Oh yeah, they're not getting this right now. They're like, why don't you just hit copy? It should be fine. You know,
there's no copy pasta here. No. There's degradation.
Yes. So. Yeah, people, you don't know, man. You don't know. But did you watch them yet?
I have not had a chance to, no. But I was made aware of it on Friday when it happened. I was like, oh, that's yes, so cool.
Yes, that was a very nice little surprise. So, and I'm really getting excited for the new episodes. I think they're going to be great. I wasn't able to watch Turkey Day stuff because I was too busy, but apparently they had a marathon with the new host doing some in-between segments.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're in Japan, so you don't get to partake in this kind of thing. But, you know, Riff Tracks frequently does a live broadcast of some movie or another. The first one I went to was Sharknado like 2 years ago, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
So I went to the MST3K reunion show, which is also a 10th anniversary Riff Track show, and they brought everyone out, including the new host, and they were on stage at the same time as Joel. So if there's any bad blood, they're actually trying to put it aside.
Wait, you were at the show or you were at a stream of
the show? Sorry, I was at the stream. So I was in Wisconsin, but they were streaming live from Minneapolis, I think, or St. Paul. I forget which.
Oh, okay.
Probably St. Paul.
I wonder, one of our mutual friends went to a bunch of those. I wonder if you guys have met up. Anyway, it's okay.
We haven't been able to. There was also a Doctor Who thing where they did an animated reconstruction of Power of the Daleks, which was
I heard about Chapman's that. Yeah,
first episode. So if it's the quality of the animation was a lot like Adult Swim, like C-Lab 2021.
That's fine.
That kind of thing, or like Archer. It's more like Archer, but not quite as sophisticated as Archer.
Well, nothing's as sophisticated as Archer.
But the Daleks were all like 3D, and there's like a black and white version. I guess they did a colorized version too, because when you have a lot of animation, why not?
They're
going to release these in January of 2017 if you want to get a copy and see it for yourself. Otherwise, it's airing on BBC America right now, episode by episode. I think there's 5 parts to the serial.
Oh, okay.
We saw it all at once, though. It was very, very interesting. Pretty good story. And it's hard to tell like if they threw things in there that were like canon about Daleks since then, or if they, because they don't really have a lot of the video that survived. They have all the audio somehow, but almost none of the video survived.
Usually they have telesnaps from the whole thing, though.
Okay.
Where they like on set taking photographs of it. That's how they used to do the reconstructions. They'd take the audio and they'd put these telesnaps to it, and the picture would only change like once a minute or so. And I used to read Doctor Who magazine, and they'd show like these telesnaps with the scripts written out.
Okay.
Which is not a great way to watch Doctor Who. But
right.
But like you get what you get, you know, back then. And of course, I used to read the novelizations of lost episodes, trying to imagine how they might have actually looked. And know what? It's probably a better way to do it, actually. Novelizations, because they found some of those episodes from novel that previously only existed, and I found myself disappointed in the special effects. So.
Well, I mean, hearing it though, like hearing Troughton and everything.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So. But anyway. Very, very cool. The stuff that's going on with restoration work. So, I mean, that gives me hope. If they can find early episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 now, maybe there's still some Doctor Who's out there. Everybody?
Right, right.
Check your filing cabinets.
I don't want to wait 50 more years for the next lost one to come out. So everyone support this one so they can do more.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm taking something off my pile of shame.
Yeah?
Yeah. You'll be happy. You'll be proud of me.
Oh, okay.
I have started watching Deep Space Nine.
Oh, boy.
And you know what? I'd almost not, because I was watching the first season of Next Generation and disappointment was palpable. And I know that's my controversial statement right here, but I didn't watch it as a kid, so I have no nostalgia to jump into there. As I said, I only watched one episode as a kid, which was, what was it, Skin of Death or Skin of Evil, or the one where Tasha Yar dies. Yeah.
Spoilers.
And
well, it's been 30 years.
If you haven't watched it by now, you're me. But anyway, I watched that and it put me off the show for a number of years. And then I actually watched the first season and that put me off the show kind of permanently.
Did you get past the second season?
No,
start with the third season. Just start with the third season. I know, seasons three through five are the best. Season two has Dr. Pulaski.
All right.
By, was it Diane Mulder? Mulder? Something. Was that her name? She was in Is There in Truth No Beauty?
Okay. From
season three of the original series, where she played, spoilers, blind doctor.
Okay.
The whole plot of that is not the point. The point was she replaced Dr. Crusher for a season for reasons I can't remember.
Yeah. The contractor financial.
Just
something.
Start with season three, because season three is like classic Next Generation. All right. And all the way through season five is pretty amazing stuff.
That's what people tell me. But I'm one of those people who wants to watch because I feel like I'm going to miss something. The same thing happened with me in watching Buffy.
All right. If you must watch an episode that might make a difference in the future,
yeah,
watch the season one finale.
Okay.
That's fine. Season two, I can't think of a single one offhand that's very good. Its finale was awful. It was a clip show because Riker what was like in a coma or something like that. And like they were trying to like jog his memory, so he was like remembering stuff from the past two seasons of the show.
Really?
What happened was they weren't sure if they were going to get a third season or not, and so it was sort of like a little wrap up for the series at that point. But they got a third season, and then they really ramped everything up. So
okay.
The only you'll miss Wesley's ascension through the Starfleet ranks, ugh, I suppose. So if you don't really care for that.
The thing is, I really like Will Wheaton very much. I follow him. He seems to be a stand-up kind of guy. But man, those episodes are painful that he's in. Just like, well, I mean, it doesn't give you a lot of respect for the rest of the Starfleet crew. They're like, "Ooh, what can we do?" And he's like, "Well, obviously,
right?
A 12-year-old knows exactly what to do.
I'm going to
save the world." Yeah, child-splaining. Westplaining.
Oh God.
Anyway,
let's not make that a thing. But season three. Oh, the other thing you'll miss too is that. Let's see. After Tasha.
Like Inu Yasha. Okay.
Yeah. After Tasha dies, Worf becomes chief of security, and then like the kind of the joke in the first season is that their chief engineer keeps dying every other episode, and then so finally Geordi becomes chief engineer. And like those are the only like season two developments that really matter.
Okay.
I suppose, you know, like because the whole thing with Geordi was he's a blind guy flying the ship, and like going back to that aforementioned original series episode. Yeah. I think some comment was made like, you know, there are some things you can't do, Miranda. You can't fly a starship blind. So like, you know, now, ha ha ha, joke's on you. This guy who can't see is the helmsman. Yep. But
don't take my word for it.
Now the random character who dies is the replacement helmsman.
So, okay.
Unless it's Wesley, in which case he never gets killed.
Well,
but so watch season that. Three. But, so right, good.
But what I'm going to say is so like, good. I have only watched the first two episodes of Deep Space Nine, but I already like it.
Oh yeah. We're talking about Deep Space Nine, aren't we? Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't know. Maybe because it was probably made around the time Next Generation was in its fifth season, sixth season.
Yeah, they overlap for two seasons, and then Voyager started up during DS9's third season. Yep.
But what I'm saying is like, it seems like the Next Generation the people like is about where this started. So like they've already kind of got the formula down a little bit. So.
Yep. Yep.
But I'm really liking it. I like the cast. I think I'll continue with it. I was just ramping up for. There's a new Star Trek coming out, and I will be able to watch it because it's hitting Netflix Japan.
Right, because you don't have to get CBS All Access, you lucky dog.
Can't. It's weird, like, Japan's getting these shows, but they're through all kinds of strange things, like American Gods I'll be able to watch through Japanese Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Ash vs. Evil Dead is on Hulu. You know, it's very... Yeah, but I'm just happy I'm getting these things. I used to have to, like, wait till I went to the States and pick up DVDs, you know?
Right, right.
So, this is very useful. Still don't have any source for getting up to the minute Doctor Who's, though. I'm still a year behind, but...
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had a way to watch that or Class.
No way to watch Class. Well, I can if I buy the episodes individually on iTunes. But man, that's expensive.
Okay. I've seen three episodes so far. It's pretty good. I enjoy it. You'll like Miss Quill.
Oh, go ahead.
I like Miss Quill anyway.
I read the script to the stage production of the 8th Harry Potter installment, The Cursed Child.
Yeah,
I read that thing. It really read like Harry Potter fan fiction, but kind of in a good way. Like every character was kind of back, it was enjoyable. I enjoyed writing it, but it really did feel like. But I mean, but the thing is, I haven't read the original Harry Potter books for so long that maybe they're like that too. It's been a long time. I was much younger when I read them. By much younger, I mean still an adult. But
yeah, I think I read all of them like in 2011 or 2012 or so.
Oh, really?
Like around there, yeah.
I was reading them as – I read the first three when I was working at the bookstore. And then I followed – 4 through the end, I picked up on release day because I was that kind of guy.
Fantastic Beasts is out, the first of three apparently, and
is it supposed to be good? I mean, I don't know.
The people I know who have seen it have said that it was good. Like, you know, that J.K. Rowling is just good at making characters that are interesting that they care about, but they do fall into very specific archetypes.
Yeah,
but they're interesting archetypes, and so I'm okay with that.
I think it's the most severe form of hobbititis I've ever seen.
What?
Okay. Okay, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Giant, really, really long book series.
Yep.
You know, they could have spread that series over like 20 movies or something.
Sure.
You know, but they did three. They wanted to do just three.
Yep.
And then they take the shortest book in the Lord of that's connected to Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and turn it into three movies.
Right.
By itself. But this one's even worse because the Harry Potter books are known for being ridiculously long. Crazy long, or whatever, but all except the last one, you know, just one movie per one. But this book, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the original book was like 80 pages long, less maybe.
Wait, there was a book of this?
Yes, there was a book of it. It came out as like it was for charity. It was written, like, of course, obviously they're going to expand.
Well, I mean, it's not like, you know,
oh yeah,
she was involved with the movie, right?
Oh, definitely. No. But what I'm saying is this was like an 80-page book, and they're going to turn it into five movies.
Three.
Five.
Five?
Yep. Just got upgraded to five.
No.
It's going to be five movies for what was essentially a pamphlet. No. I think it'll be great. I think it'll be wonderful, but it just makes me laugh so much. But you know what? There's been a lot worse things that movies have been based off of.
Such as?
I don't know. We got a whole podcast about them.
All right, fine.
Oh.
Can we
should bring up something. We should bring up something. Now that we're mentioning the fan art and like a surprise things. Should we finally promote this game that we've been enjoying very much?
Yeah. Jeez.
Let's do that.
Oh, I feel so terrible.
We should probably make a teaser video at some point so people can actually go to it easily. But you, our podcast listeners, can have access to it now. And please don't see that as an insult after you play the game.
Okay.
It is... Sean, you want to take a crack at describing this in one sentence?
In one sentence?
In one sentence. Describe this game in one sentence.
Enjoy the pleasures of dating a female version of Vink or me, or are you? ... question mark.
Is that one sentence?
Yeah. There was a semicolon in there somewhere.
What would you call it? A gender bending Famicom Dojo podcast fan fiction school life dating simulator.
Right. Yes.
That was one sentence, but a lot of commas.
Right. I mean, so like it's not.
It's a dating sim. It's a dating sim.
But it's not weird.
Somehow, I don't
think it's weird.
You don't think it's weird?
Nah.
Okay. Dude, I know you got to the ending of that game. You don't think it's weird that you kind of made it with me?
No. Because you don't. Spoilers.
Maybe you don't.
Listen.
Anyway,
I don't know how else to explain this. Like, all right, let me try. So, okay. It's a dating sim.
Yes.
But both of the characters seem kind of I mean, Chandra is very disinterested.
Well, that's because she's that archetype.
Sure, but and then you know, Vinkel's just cheery and bubbly and fun-loving, but that doesn't mean anything, you know.
And likes laser discs.
Like this game is chock full of so many like references.
And really obscure ones too.
Yeah.
Like things that were you this game you'll appreciate if you have liked and listened to every episode of our podcast and watched every one of our videos. But I think it's funny even without that, but like yeah. there's levels of amazing in there.
Yeah. So I should say it could have gotten weird, but it stopped short of being weird. How about that?
But the thing is, come on, you were a little disappointed.
I was not. I was relieved. I was so relieved.
It's great. It's very funny. You can play through it about 15 minutes probably.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little longer if you want to get both endings.
I actually checked the source code too, just to see, you know, if there was any surprises for one thing, but also because there were a couple of small little mistakes. Like
yeah.
we sort of beta tested it for Lewis and a lot of those things got fixed, but then I had to go in for something. I think I'd like change a link or something.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that there was just like one screen that didn't progress to the where it was supposed to. And I made the change, but
If you want to play it, we should point out you can play it in a web browser, and you can also play it on your smartphone.
Yep, and it is on our website. So if you go to famicomdojo.tv/games, actually let me see if I can get you an actual link. Just a second.
Famicom. Yeah, let's do that. It's definitely a completed work as what it is, but
okay.
Go ahead.
If you go to famicomdojo.tv/games, it will auto redirect you to the games/originals/Lewistrations page, which has not only that Famicom Love Life, which is what we've been talking about, but also his original Into the Dojo 3-panel video game where you control me like I'm a Sierra Online or early LucasArts character.
And it features a non-copyright infringement puppet.
Yep. So you might actually want to play that game first to understand a few of the references in the second game.
Don't worry. That game will take you 15, maybe 20 seconds. So don't worry. Yeah, but
it's pretty easy.
But I guess it's kind of, a prequel. thanks so much for doing that. It's really amazing because it actually fits that whole the genre of like, you know, early 90s adventure games like pretty perfectly. It's shockingly accurate. And nice. I cracked up a number of times playing it. Some of the dialogue and visuals are really funny. And oh, special appearance by Basketball.
Spoilers.
Oh man. But yeah, give it a try. Give it a try, and please support the work that this guy is doing. Not relating to us. Sean, have you read Apricot Cookies yet?
I haven't.
Come on, it's only, well, actually it's getting kind of long now. It would take a little while to it's just download this app called Tapas, I think it's, and it's like a comic reader, and you'll get a little notification whenever there's a new one. It's great. It is a wonderful take on the whole magical girl thing. It's got drama and laughs and great art and fart jokes. You'd be right up your alley. You would like this.
Okay.
And let's see. I suppose you could just search for Apricot Cookies, or you know what? We'll put a link. We'll put a link in our show notes. So everyone should read that and subscribe to it and give him all the feedback you can, because it's great.
And I'm sure that we'll share these links on Facebook and Twitter and such as well.
Yes.
So you won't have to go hunting.
But they're there anyway to play our game, remember?
Right.
They're already at our website.
Oh, yeah. Everyone uses the website, don't they? All those comments we get now.
All the time. All that PayPal money we get.
Although it's kind of my fault because I switched over how the comment system works. And
yeah.
Long story short, I should probably change it to a way that makes sense.
I don't know. I think it's better. I think it's better to find out who the true fans are that they're able to explore through our convoluted systems. And actually, like, a few people had discovered the game just by like poking around our site. They saw that it was there before we talked about it.
One who was going to cosplay as this version of me, decided. I had to explain to her, like, you know, no, it's a real game. It's not just some imaginary thing from a screen grab or something that never existed. No, it happened, and she played it and thought it was amazing.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
I thought you two were just kidding. She's gonna cosplay.
Well,
as...
she was going to, but then I think she backed out of like doing a whole lot of work for Daisho Con, and I wasn't even there anyway. So
okay. But someone actually got to the point where they volunteered to cosplay as Chandra.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
Hey, there's always next year.
Yeah, but I mean... Wow. Hats off. Hats off. Totally. Hats off. Anyway, it's a Denshi Mail, and it's been about us for too long, so now it's going to be about you and your questions.
Okay. If you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail, or just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter, leave a comment on one of our videos, email us at denshimail or podcast at famicomdojo.tv, or leave a voicemail at 608-492-1923, and we'll play your clip on the show.
Let's start with some of the old questions.
What? All right, go for it.
All right. Derek writes, why is Derek so cool? Skip that one. these are older comments that we didn't get to the last podcast. Oh, we've just been talking about, Lewis Lloyd Judson. So, maker of Apricot Cookies and This Famicom Love Life. All right. Right. Or is it That Famicom Love Life?
That Famicom Love Life.
That Famicom Love Life. Okay. On a scale of free steak to Derek, oh, that's good. How cool is the new Switch Pro controller? Now, which on a scale of free steak to Derek, are we saying Derek is way, way cooler and a free steak is bad? Or is this a cut at Derek? Or
I don't know.
There's a lot of unanswered questions there, because I think both free steaks and Derek are cool.
All right, so there you go.
So, I would say Steak Derek.
Steak. Does it mean you're going to turn Derek into a steak?
I don't know. I could.
I mean, I won't judge, I guess.
I could bet Derek at poker that he would be the stakes. Anyway, how cool is the new Switch Pro controller? I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I think it looks great. But
it looks a lot like a PS4 controller, doesn't it?
I think it looks more like an Xbox controller, like Xbox 360. It's kind of like chunky like that, but
man,
like, I don't know.
There were already complaints that it was already too much like a 360 controller or something, like the previous one, I mean.
I don't know, though. Like, if something works, it works, you know?
Right.
Personally, I think the Wii U Pro Controller is one of the most comfortable controllers I've ever used.
Oh, it's great.
And after the classic controller, which was that like oval of awkwardness.
Yeah.
You know, I was a little worried about Nintendo, but if this continues on their way of the last Pro Controller they did, I think it'll be great. It looks good. I think it looks a lot more comfortable than playing with detached Switch sticks. But who knows? Those might be really comfortable too.
Well, the other thing it has going for it that the Switch doesn't is there's an actual D-pad on it.
There is. And I mean, we talked in the previous podcast about why the Switch controller can't really have classic D-pads. But yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be nice to have, especially if there is a useful virtual console. Oh no, they're going to just start off again.
Can't wait to do another video no one will watch about how to transfer all of your stuff over.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they're going to I don't know. I don't think they're going to have any transfer this time.
Well, I mean, if you're able to plug your Wii or your Wii U into like my Nintendo, then maybe you won't have to.
Yeah, well, what I think is, like, due to the whole different system architecture, I think there's not going to be backwards compatibility with much. But hopefully the Wii U games the virtual console games you bought, hopefully you can upgrade them. Hopefully for free. Free would be nice. Nintendo. Free would be nice. Seriously.
Nintendo would never release them for free. Never.
Seriously, Nintendo. How many times I got to buy Urban Champion now? Zero. That's how many times.
How many copies do I have on like cartridge even? It's like,
I know. Nintendo, some of these games I've literally bought a dozen times.
Literally. I think,
like, let me think. Super Mario Brothers. I have the original cart. I have the cart with Duck Hunt on it. I have the American version. I have the Famicom version. I have the Game Boy Advance re-release. I bought it for Wii Virtual Console. I paid to upgrade it to Wii U Virtual Console. I have it on... I will have it on the NES Mini and the Famicom Mini at some point. I have Super Mario All-Stars, which contains it, and I have it on Famicom Disc. How many was that?
So what you're trying to say is they can sell it to you as many times as they want because you'll always buy it no matter what, and their strategy is actually working.
Crap.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So this controller...
disavow that you heard that. Yeah, I don't know. I think it looks good, though, and I think it's very, very cool how you can deattach two Switch controllers and just be like, let's play Mario Kart right now. But like, if I'm playing it at home on my couch, I want something nice.
Sure. And it looks, you know, like the Switch layout, right? But then there are, I guess, four. There's four I can easily see in this screen cap.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, you know, that two of them are like the select and start or plus and minus or whatever those are. But there are two more that I don't know for sure what those do. One's probably a home button.
Maybe one is that rumored share button.
Yeah. It's hard to tell. Along the bottom, it looks like that there's indicator lights like the current Pro Controller.
Now, I don't know if this is even a doable thing anymore because it seems Nintendo's really done away with it. But I would love analog triggers if they could swing that.
Right, and I don't think there's a good shot of what that looks like. Like you can see the handles and the thing. Look either rubbery or just like more matte than the glossier finish.
And I mean, it's not a deal breaker for me. As I said, I really liked the Wii U Pro Controller, but like if they had analog triggers, that would give me hope that we'd get another F-Zero sometime in the future.
They're not showing this at all.
Yeah.
Like, the,
but anyway, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like even where you see it from the back, the guy's holding it down. Okay, so there's like, yeah, plus and minus I can see from this one, and there's a square button under the minus on the left, and then there's something, I don't know, can't tell what that is. It's like a circly thing under the plus. Man, I have no idea. Okay, this shot has a little more contrast to it. I still, is it a power button or a home button? It's probably a home button. It is really hard either. To see from these shots.
All right. Well, let's move on. We'll probably now that we've talked about it before this podcast comes out, they'll do a full reveal. So.
Right. all I can say is it looks way better than the Xbox One controller. Holy crap.
Okay. Controversial statement. Let's
see. Oh, okay. Yep. Here we go. I'm looking at like an actual like Switch controller or what's that called? The
Joy-Con.
The Joy-Con. Right. And yeah, so the one on the left is some kind of square button with like a circle inside of it. And the one on the right is a circle button with a home in it. So it's definitely a home button. Definitely. And on this other controller, they're just below the directional pad and the stick. I'm also seeing on the Joy-Con that there are indicator lights on both sides. It's like the four indicators. So
yep.
I thought that was to show if it's getting powered or not at first. But now I'm seeing, it's probably to show you if you're player one or not. But then why would they be on both sides? Like, can you be player two on the... Oh, that's so confusing.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Okay, why don't you grab the next question?
All right.
Jan?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Jan Max Friedrich. What is the most absolutely boring fact you could include? I think, I already replied to it. I think that we answered it last Dash email.
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to do a do over here. Yakov Adam. So is the Famicom Mini just as hard to get as the new Mini? And do you think Nintendo should make more mini consoles like this?
I think we answered this one last time.
Yeah. To answer the last question then, yes, they should. I've seen some articles saying what they should put in like a Super Famicom or a Super NES Mini. And I don't even know if they're planning to do one or not. I just keep seeing this ad pop up once in a while.
They'd be crazy not to. Right. So they probably won't.
let's hope that they actually, fill demand for the ones they've released already before we get too crazy. All right. Yeah,
the demand is there for at least one because I haven't gotten either of them yet.
Two. There you go. So that's four between the two types. You want to read the next one?
Okay. Marcin.
Marcin.
Bielak? MB writes, have you ever seen the Konami bubble system? I haven't. Have you, Sean?
No. I guess I'm looking that up now.
Due to the terrible reliability of those things, I think it'd be really, really hard to see to find one these days anyway. A lot of the games for those systems were re-released on standard ROM things anyway. So, and to tell you the truth, even if I did see one, I don't know if I'd know it was a bubble system right away because, other than the hardware test, it'd be kind of hard to recognize one. So, no, I haven't.
Wait, it's a non-mechanical magnetic storage system for arcade games, apparently.
Yeah, bubble memory. It was like an arcade board.
Huh.
1980. You're on Wikipedia, right?
Yeah,
now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I forgot the bold step of including my co-host in the discussion. Konami bubble system was an arcade board. I think the original Twinbee and Gradius were on it.
Yeah. Yep.
It was kind of like bubble memory storage, and apparently it was really, really susceptible to like failure because, magnetic or static,
right.
could reset the whole thing. So, I mean, it was a cool idea, to be able to be replaceable with something a little more versatile than like discs or cassettes, like the Deca system used. The original Burger Time was originally released on a arcade board that took cassettes.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Which was cool, But like, I think SNK really figured it out with when they, you know, did the MVS with the removable cartridges and stuff, and later like Sega boards and things like that too. But a lot of early boards, basically, you had your game, and that was it. You know, you could put sometimes you could expand the board, like you could convert a Pac-Man into a Miss Pac-Man or something like that. But yeah, so. But what's really cool about the bubble system, and the only reason I even know about it at all, is because it had a really cool warming up song, and there's like YouTube videos of it, and Konami occasionally would play reference to that by including it in other games that they made. And I heard I don't remember what group did a mix of it, a really cool mix of it. Was it YMCK who did that? No, I don't think so. I don't know. Someone did a really cool remix of it. Let's put that as a link in the just search for Konami Bubble System Warming Up.
Okay.
Cool little song. Okay.
Just to go back to the Pro Controller for a second, because I'm still looking at pictures of this. apparently, there's this IGN thread where someone's comparing it to the new Amazon controller, the Fire TV controller. And like the whole like matte handle and glossy faceplate thing is like spot on the same, and all the button configurations are nearly identical except for like the middle four buttons are arranged a bit differently. But yeah, it looks really similar.
Really?
Yeah, I'll send you a link.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a legit complaint, especially because this one came out first. But there really are only so many button and like controller configurations at this point. Like Nintendo's gone through all of them.
Yeah, I mean, there really are. I mean, yeah, the complaints about the Pro Controller was it was just an Xbox controller, but I mean, you know, go with what's working. You know, there's no need. I don't know.
Okay. Next question. Then let's see what.
Okay.
Do I have?
Go ahead.
Kuba Machnio. Sound expansions when? What is that even a question? There's no question mark.
That's a statement. Or hold on, sound expansions when? When are we going to do a video on sound expansions? Like, please, question expansion when?
Oh God, what have you done?
Hold on. If the question was, when are we going to do a video on the sound expansions? I'm guessing, you know, the carts with the Konami carts and things that had additional sound.
Oh, sure.
When we can get more of them. That's the main thing. We have. I mean,
I have Lagrange Point now, thanks to you.
You have Lagrange Point, which is amazing. Have you fired that up, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it's just amazing. But we want to get a few more because we just like how. I've gathered all titles except one right now for a new video on the Turbo File, where we actually talk about all of it, expanding on that other video. And then we only have to do it once, you know, until we realize we forgot something into it. But so you know, we try to so. Sound expansion is definitely something we're very interested in, but we have to find also a way to make it relevant because there's a number of videos on it already, and we've got to make sure that what we do is something different because we don't want to just retread something other people have already done.
Right.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Mario Jumpman! Man, have you seen those videos he did in Mario Artist?
A few of them, yeah.
Yeah. That's... Mario Jumpman writes, when can we expect a family basic review? We get asked this one a lot.
Especially by Mario Jumpman.
Yes. Quite frequently. Soon? No, that's a lie. Long. We've got the materials together, but it's to do it justice. We kind of want to learn how to actually use it a little bit. I've made a couple demo programs. We saw in one of the Dojo Snacks videos, I made a little program and I've gotten a couple books on coding for it. They're in Japanese, but you know, they've got sample programs and things. And I've been playing around with it a little bit. I know some of the people at Famicom World are working really hard to translate one of the manuals to English, which would actually provide some amazing stuff. And we don't have all the materials in one place, though, now. Well, I think so. Do you have version 1 and version 3?
Yes, I have both. I have both of those now. Didn't you get me a manual, too, that's all in Japanese, but I can read the code example still or something?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Did I give that to you?
I thought you did. Maybe
I did. Oh, it's very possible. But anyway, you see, there's the disorganization right there, is we've got to figure that all out. But I've made successful programs. I've been able to save them. I've been able to, load from the cassette, and it's very, very cool. We just want to make sure there's a lot of substance when we do that, because we know that's a video that people are looking forward to, and we don't want to disappoint. A lot of the videos you see that will do very obscure things that we can cover quickly, because people aren't going to be, disappointed that we didn't cover so-and-so things. But when we do something as big as Famicom Basic, we want to make sure it's a good review. And it wouldn't really be a review anyway. It would be more like an overview. We don't really review things, because if we really don't like something, we usually don't do anything about it.
Right, right. And even things we do like that we don't do much about because they would take so long. And, exactly. It's a struggle, because, back in the earlier days of Famicom Dojo, like, just about anything we would do would get tens of thousands of hits guaranteed over the long haul. But, we realize that, after that, it just depends, on the things that we pick and the time that they come out. We want to keep people engaged. And so if we want to do more, we can't do the bigger topics as frequently. So we still want to do them, but it's kind of a question of timing and when, and this won't make it into the next spate of videos that we're planning on doing.
No, I don't think so either. But it is something we're working on, and a lot of these things that we'd love to do, and we'd also love to do something on the 64DD, and I've had requests to do something on the Laser Active, and these things aren't free either, so we have to collect all these things to be able to make the videos. And I mean, we've been throwing our own money at it, but we can do when we can do is basically it.
Indeed.
So yeah, all right. Let's hit a couple more. Let's just hit a couple more small ones.
Okay.
And thanks everyone for your comments, by the way.
Luis Salamos writes, I previously submitted a question about the feel and authenticity of the Retron 5 in terms of retro gaming. Recently, in a Portuguese event, I was totally blown away by the SNES EverDrive cartridge, although a bit expensive, almost $100. Have you guys tried one? It's a great way to try these really expensive games on a real console. Basically, it's a modern cart that loads ROMs into a real console. Well.
I do not have an EverDrive. And again, I don't have a problem with the concept of the EverDrive. I really like, maybe it's not an EverDrive, it might be another one that actually allows more expanded versions of games. Like someone modded Rock and Roll Racing to actually have spoken words, and people have converted games like Road Blasters to be an FMV game for the Super Nintendo that'll play on actual hardware. Very cool things people are doing. But it is piracy, a lot of it, you know. When you do load 1,000 games onto your thing and you don't really own them, it is piracy. And I'm not gonna make a moral judgment on that, because that's people's own call reel. But the legality of it is fairly clear. But that said, if you have your own way to extract the ROMs, which you could use with a Retrode or something like that, or a Retro Freak or something like that, if you have ways of extracting the ROMs from your own carts and put them onto one of these. I think it's a wonderful way to play them, because then you can play them with the actual hardware without constantly switching out cartridges. Saves a lot of wear and tear on your system.
Right.
And you can play your collector's games or whatever without potentially ruining them. Really good for people with kids. And without having to worry if the battery works or not. So,
right.
And it definitely feels better to use actual hardware than it does to use the Retron 5. No question.
Definitely.
No question at all. But, I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with EverDrives, but I'm one of those stubborn, like, original hardware, original software kind of guys. So, I like the feeling of switching out cartridges more so than pulling something off a menu. And that's a personal preference. That's a personal preference. What about you, Sean? You ever try one of those guys?
Nope.
Okay. But yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it though. That's cool. Just, if you like the games that you're playing, if possible to
put a ring on it. No,
what?
Never mind.
put a ring on it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Put a ring on it. Like, if the game is commercially available somewhere, try to. And a lot of them are, you know, various virtual consoles and ports and things like that. Try to, if you really like what the developers are doing, try to send some money their way. Anonymous sack of money with dollar signs printed on it left in front of their house.
Oh, so like Bitcoin.
Yeah. What?
Never mind. All right.
We gotta
wrap this up. I wanna run more on that has to do with the rest of our discussion for the
okay.
podcast. And this is from Josh Crawley. Hey Josh. Is there underboob that's distasteful?
Why did you choose? There are some really good questions you skipped. Okay. Is there underboob that's distasteful? Is there underboob that's tasteful?
Yes. I think by definition, all underboob is supposed to be tasteful. But you know what? If it's of a female version of Fink, I think it's a different question.
Okay.
Taste doesn't come into it at that point. It's just
awkward. Was female Vink underboob distasteful?
No, but I didn't.
What?
I don't think I wanted to see it.
What if it was male Vink underboob? Would that be distasteful?
Do you have boobs?
It's after Thanksgiving. As I told you, I had eight Thanksgivings, so. Yeah, I would say that's fairly. I don't know. It depends how you feel about body hair. Well, this whole conversation just got a little distasteful. Yeah, I should have specified, because I think at the end I was lamenting the fact that we don't have the type of fans who are coming and saying we need to show tasteful underboob to the men who make Famicom Dojo. But I guess the response that we got it from myself is to be expected. There's a bunch of other questions that we haven't hit exactly, so we'll try to catch that in a future Denshi Mail. But we usually put out calls for the questions on Sunday nights. So look at Facebook furiously.
Hmm.
No.
All the
just
time.
add to the most recent call for questions, and we usually get around to the old ones later on. So if you're listening to this and there's no new call for questions, you can probably throw them on the old one, and we'll probably get to them.
Guess who just posted on the thread?
Oh, dear.
It's Derek, and he asks, why is Derek so cool? So now, okay, we're about a full circle.
Yep. Man, that guy's not a steak.
well, we don't have any haiku to read again, and I'm disappointed. I really should have written some. We should keep some in reserve. But if you guys have any... Oh, that is a lie, actually. There were a few that Mario Jumpman wrote, but one of them was 577, and the other one I don't remember. So you got 575, everyone. 575 is a haiku.
Yep. You can do it, guys.
All right.
Bonus points if you write it in Japanese.
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
So, all right. Cool. I guess then, until next time, the dojo is...
The dojo is pretty confident that nothing in this episode could be turned into fan art.
Oh, God.
Reasonably confident. Not confident at all.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicondojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.